When in yeshiva, so they like to say that when the Rosh Yeshiva, the Mashkiach, he asks the young man, where were you this morning? I didn't see you in davening. So he tells the Rosh Yeshiva, he tells the Mashkiach, I davened nates. What does he mean? He means he davened around 9, 10, you know, in Yiddish, 9 or 10, that he davened nates around that time. So what we'd like to talk about is the real nates. And we have it in this week's parsha. The pasuk says, has a machogus amarayim, is the mitzvah of kriya shema in the morning and evening min haTorah, or is it midrabbanan? Clearly the pasuk seems to say b'shoch l'chol k'mecha, and the other side says no, it's midrabbanan, and the pasuk is talking about talmud Torah. L'halacha, we paskin clearly in the Shulchan Aruch and Simnun Ches that saying Shema in the morning and evening is a Torah commandment, Mido Raisa, to say Shema in the morning and in the evening. Now, there's a Mishnah Maseches Brachos and Daf Tes Amud Beis that brings a machlokus regarding what time we can start saying Shema. We just want to focus now on the starting time for Shema. The later time for Shema, the last time, is another shir. We just want to discuss the first time that one should be saying Shema in the morning. And the Braisa on that Mishnah says, it's the time when you can see your acquaintance from a distance of Dalad Amos. From 4 Amos away, you can recognize him. The Yushalmi on that Gemara Brachos tells us something very important, that it can't be someone that you know very, very well, and it doesn't mean someone that you met once at a party. It's someone that you kind of know, because if you know them very, very well, most people, I can tell, someone I know well, I can tell who they are by looking at their walk. You know, from 200 feet away, you know them well enough. And if someone barely know, that's not going to help. It needs to be someone who's somewhere in between, that type of a distance that one would say Shema in the morning. Now, this leads the Gemara to conclude with the following statement: Halacha l'maisa. The Gemara says that the halacha is that you say Shema chaveru rachok dal amos, and you can see your friend at a distance from dal amos. And then the Gemara says halacha ka'achirim. Amar Abaye says, Letfilin ka'achem. That measurement is really regarding the time you put on tefillin. It's not regarding Shema. Lekriya Shema, says Abaye, one should daven ki vasikin. What does vasikin mean? So Rashi says it means people who are very humble, who love doing mitzvos. Rebbeinu Yonah says it's referring to people who are very sharp, very big tamei chachamim. Whatever it is, it's a good thing. You should daven like the vasikin. Hayugomer mosa menetzachama. That they say it with Hanetzachama. And that statement on its own requires a discussion. What does that mean, with Hanetzachama? Tanya Namihach, we learned in the Braisa, Vasikin Hayagomer Mosav Hanetzachama, the Vasikin, these very special people, would say Shema with Hanetzachama, Kadeshi Yismachu L'Tfilah, they can have a Geula right before Tfilah, V'Nintzimus Pal B'Yom. That they would be able to daven Shachris at the first time as the day breaks, and they will precede that immediately to have a geula of the Kriya Shema preceding immediately the Shemona Esrei itself. Now, we have to discuss what's the halacha from the Gemara. Just a few points. The phrase Hanetzachama, as explained by all the Rishonim, is referring to the idea of a nates of like a sprouting. That the sun, it begins to sprout up. And we'll discuss what that looks like in the sky in a moment. Also, just a technicality, people sometimes are very machbid to note that it's Hanetzachama. That it's wrong to call it Netzachama, because that doesn't make any sense. It's Hanetz, with the sprouting. So if I slip and I say Netz, or I don't say Hanetz, you'll forgive me. But grammatically, correct dicta could be Hanetzachama, and sometimes we are lazy in our grammar, so we just say Netz, but you'll forgive me if I slip up. Now, what's the halacha from this Gemara? The Gemara gave us two opinions, one saying Richuk Dal Namos, and the other saying Kivasikin, as Netzachama. So we have first the Rambam. The Rambam Maisach Hoskriya Shema in Parakal, the Lichad Chila, you should say Shema Kivasikin, meaning right before Netzachama. So you can say the last Brach of Kriya Shema right before the sun sprouts up. B'Shas HaVachak, writes the Rambam, you can say it after Avon HaShachar. He repeats this again in the Tshuvas Peradar in Simon Samach Dalad. And the Beis Yosef says this is all the understanding of the Rif and the opinion of the Bartanura as well. So that is one approach. So l'chadchila, you should say Shema Kivasikin, and Bidiyeved, anything that's not Kivasikin is Bidiyeved. That means, according to the Rambam, most Jews are saying Shema Bidiyeved and not l'chadchila. That's approach number one. Rabbeinu Yonah says, Vasikin is a mitzvah min hamavchar. It's a very nice thing to do. So that Shmoneh Esrei is recited Yom Mamish, really at the beginning of the day. And this is the opinion of the Rush and the Rashba and Rov Rishonim. And that's what we're going to pass on like in a moment. That really, Vasikin is a mitzvah min hamavchar. It's a very, very nice thing to do if one is able to. But if you don't say Kriya Shema Kivasikin, you still fulfill the mitzvah l'chatzila. Understand the difference? Good. Three is Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel says that Kriya Shema should be read with Hanetzachama. Not that Shmona Esrei should be with Hanetzachama, but Shema should be Hanetzachama. That's when you should recite. Meaning we're all doing the wrong thing according to Rabbeinu Chananel. We should be looking at the clock and saying Shema Yisrael when the clock strikes the right time, and not looking at Shmona Esrei. This is also the sheet of the Baal HaMa'or, and he understands as follows, that all mitzvahs hayom, as the Gemara in Megillah says, all mitzvahs of the day should be done during the daytime. Isn't Kriya Shema a mitzvah of the daytime? Right? Isn't that what it's supposed to be? It's a mitzvah linked to the daytime. So Kriya Shema should be the first mitzvah done in Netzach Hama, not Shmona Esrei. And one should start to say Shema as the sun peaks over the horizon and start Shmona Esrei a couple of minutes later when the ball is over the horizon. I mean, you should be able to say Shema pretty quickly. And we'll discuss in a second how long does it take for the ball of the sun to go from the tippy top until the bottom is over the horizon. That depends where you are and where you're standing. But let's just say it's 2.5 minutes. So it would take you, you should be able to say Shema and all the rest of the brachos in 2.5 minutes and start Shmoneh Esrei when the ball of the sun has finished leaving the horizon. Many Rishonim cite Rabbeinu Chananel, but reject this as the halacha. Finally is Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer Yashar, who says that Shema should be said at Hanetzach Hama, but he has a different reasoning. He has a different mahalach why. He cites the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Zayin. The Gemara in Yuma says that when the sun rose, there was a special menorah that would begin to sparkle, and then everyone present would know it's time to say Shema at that time. So what do we see from the Gemara? That when the sun rose, this menorah sparkled because it gave off a certain light, indicating that it was Hanetzach Hama. So Rabbeinu Tam is in the camp of Rabbeinu Chananel, just coming with a different approach, a different logic. Halacha l'maisa, as we all know, I hope, the Shulchan Aruch writes that l'chadchila, Shema should be recited from Chaveiro Rachav Dal Amos. You should recite Shema l'chadchila after the time when you could see your friend from before Amos. And it's a mitzvah min hamavchar, it's a very nice thing to recite it kevasik. And this is the shita of most achronim. Not everybody agrees to this. The Pri Chadash says the halacha is like the Rambam, that really l'chadchila, you should all should be davening Hanetzach Hama. And the Birka Yosef is surprised that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't follow the Rambam, doesn't follow the Rambam and the Rif, who are generally his Amudei Horah, right? We all know that the Beis Yosef writes in his introduction that how he's going to pass in Halacha, he's going to look at the Rush, the Rif, and the Rambam. And here we have the Rambam and the Rif against the Rush, and the Shulchan Aruch follows the Rush against the two Amudei Horah, which would be a very rare occurrence, and the Birka Yosef doesn't understand. And he wants to suggest the following. He thinks the reason is because there's really a suffix about what the Rif holds. The Rif's opinion is not clear, and some Rishonim want to read the Rif into their opinion, and some Rishonim want to read the Rif into their opinion. So because the Rif is in this no man's land, we're not sure where he applies, maybe, says the Birka Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch just is moving the Rif into the camp of the Rush. So it's really the Rif and the Rush who are in the majority that Shema should be said only after Richuk Dal Namos for Amos, and it's only a mitzvah and a mofkar to say it after Nesach Hama, and the Rambam is in the minority. So that's how the Birka Yosef kind of comes around to defend the Shulchan Aruch in saying that he's not breaking rank with his usual rule. Now this comment to the Birka Yosef is difficult because the Birka Yosef concludes and he says that one should be machmer to daven kevasikin in order to be yotze all the shitas. Because if you daven kevasikin, you'll be happy with the Rambam, the Rish, and the Rav. With the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rush. What's the problem with Birka Yosef? What about Rabbeinu Chananel? What about Rabbeinu Tam? If you daven kevasikin as we are accustomed to, you're upsetting Rabbeinu Tam and you're upsetting Rabbeinu Chananel. You're not making them happy because you're davening too late, according to them. So I don't understand why the Birka Yosef thinks you're being yotze all the shitos. You're being yotze the Rif and the Rush of the Rambam, which is not a small thing, but I wouldn't call it being yotze all the shitos. It must mean that he's talking about Rov Rishonim when it comes to this idea. Now, why should a person be makbid to daven vasikin? What do you get out of it besides fulfilling a mitzvah min amalcha, which I'm sure is a good thing. So the Sefer Yosha writes that it's an ace ratzon. To daven at Kirasikin is an especially propitious time. It's a good thing to do for one's tefillah. And I saw the Ravid Hazav notes that the Gemara in Brachos tells us that this is the time of the day when people who are over the Avodah Zarah bow down to the sun as it's coming up. So to counteract people who are being over the Avodah Zarah, worshipping idolatry at that moment, worshipping the sun, it's appropriate to go make a Kiddush Hashem and to daven to Hashem at that exact moment. So we come out halach l'maisa. I don't think anything else too shocking. Pretty straightforward, right? Nothing too different. It's a good thing to daven Kavasikin if you can, and if one is able to, that is certainly praiseworthy. And if they can get their schedule around it, then they can wake up, and all these things, a proper thing to do. Everyone would agree to that. But halach l'maisa, it does not mean that your Kriya Shema is lacking in any way if you are not davening Kavasikin. What we want to discuss for the remainder of the time is when is Hanetzach Chama. That is not so clear. We take for granted that we go onto myzmanim.com, which everybody uses, and you look at the city that you're in, and it tells you what time Netzach Chama is, and you take that time, and you apply it to how you're going to daven for the rest of the day. But the issues when it comes to calculating the Netzach Chama are quite difficult. And the message I really want to draw out by the time we're done with everything we're about to say is that sometimes people get very anxious when it comes to davening Vasikin, and they're looking at the clock and looking at their watch. And we need to understand that no matter what time you think you're davening Vasikin, you're wrong according to 98% of the other people. Everybody disagrees about what time Vasikin is, and just because you have one time from myzmanim.com or you have something on an atomic clock, you're upsetting 98% of the population. You're only good according to some people. And we want to discuss why this is the case. And also, understand there's a range of leeway. It's not that something that's a half hour, and it might not even be something that's 10 minutes. But certainly a person has a couple of minutes, give or take, to understand what is Hanetzach Chama and how it's calculated. So let's begin this first discussion. The first issue, which is the duration of the sun's ascent, how long does it take the sun to go up, which begins from the second we can see the first edge of the sun until it can be seen entirely. So this time, as we said before, according to many figures given, is 2.5 minutes. But that's 2.5 minutes depending on where you're standing and the time of the year. We'll have to discuss that issue on its own. The Gemara in Pesachim says in Daf Tzadi Gimel. The Gemara there in Pesachim and Daf Tzadi Gimel Tzadi Dalad is the major source of discussions about Shkia and Bein Hashmashos and the times of the sun and how the sun moves. All those different complicated issues are there. So the Gemara says that Hanetzach Chama is when the sun comes out of the ground. Now, that would seem to be a very simple thing, right? When you see the peak of the sun, that should be Hanetzach Chama. That's not the case. According to most Shitos, the time of Hanetz is precisely when the first part of the sun is visible. If you're standing at the beach, right, and you see the sun just peek over, not the light, but the ball of the sun, that would be Hanetzach Chama. And at that moment, that would be you should begin the Shemona Esrei of Vasikin. And Rashi writes on this Gemara that it's when the sun emerges from the Rakia. Whatever Rakia is a discussion we do not have time for right now. It's whatever the understanding of Chazal and Rishonim were about how the sky worked. When it comes from that point, when the sun emerges. And the similar understanding is in the Tshuvas Agonim. Rabbeinu Yonah, based on the Yerushalmi, also says it's when the sun begins to be seen. The Chafetz Chaim has a long piece in the Bir Halacha, in Siman Ches, where he discusses this issue, and it's clearly the opinion of the Mishabura and Rav Poskim that it means when you see the ball of the sun peak up for the first time above the horizon.
No one says it's the rays.
No. That's not. People do say it's the rays. Okay. Most people say it is with the ball of the sun. The Bir Halacha notes that the Prima Gadim seems to say that Hanetz is even before you can see the ball of the sun. And there's a Tshuvas of the Beis Dava that many people quote who says it starts before we can see the sun. It's hard to understand what he's talking about. It's the moments before we see the sun. It's the moments leading up to that point is what we call Hanetzach Chama. He has his own reasons why he thinks that's the case. That is a minority opinion. There are those who say that Hanetzach Chama is also the conclusion of when the sun is rising, when the bottom part of the sun reaches the horizon. That's also minority opinion as well. There are those who say Hanetzach Chama is actually a long period. It's the entire period that this ball of the sun is rising, from the moment that the top comes from the horizon, from the time that the bottom leaves the horizon. That fictitious 2.5 minutes period of time is what we call Hanetzachana. There are those who say it lasts more than that, and it's the entire time that the rays of the sun are red, whatever that means. Some distinct coloring that comes from the sun. Now, Lamaisa, right, we follow the Shita of Rabbeinu Yonah, and those Shitas that say we're looking for the exact ball of the sun. But what we see off the bat is that even the physical phenomena that we're referring to as Netzachama is not agreed upon by everyone. That's point number one. Now, another suffix is the issue of mountains. Okay? Mountains create a big issue, or things that are blocking your view based on where you're standing. Are there mountains in the east when the sun rises that are blocking the sunrise? Do we take that into consideration? Or do we follow an astronomical sunrise, meaning a straight horizon, pretending that there's no mountains there? You would think that that should be something easily decided upon. It's not. That's also a major discussion. It's certainly the case. If you're underneath a cliff, right? If you are underneath the bottom of a very, if you're in the middle of a valley, that's an abnormal place. What we've taken into account is a normal inhabited area where the ground is relatively normal. If you're in an odd place because you're standing in a weird location, we're not so concerned for you. We're looking at the normal type of issue. Or if, let's say, you're standing in New York City and you're behind the Empire State Building. That could be, you know, that could be 45 minutes later. So you see the sun come up for the Empire State Building. So you don't take that into account. We're talking about in the general undulations of the ground, and do those things come into account? Because that could be the difference in 2 or 3 or 4 minutes, depending on where you're standing as well.
This is above Yerushalayim.
We have to worry about above Yerushalayim as well.
Because Yerushalayim is not, I mean, there was mountains, and that's not a rare thing.
So we'll discuss that in a second. Let's discuss that right now. Let's say you're sitting in the old city of Yerushalayim, right? What's blocking the east in the old city? Harazesim. So Harazesim is immediately going to push the time for Netzachama. If what you're looking at is the mountains and not the astronomical horizon, that's immediately going to push it up an extra minute or two. And then even if you're standing in Harazesim, there's Harei Moav. Harei Moav are also behind you as well. So that's going to add additional time. So you need to decide, do I ignore only the mountains right in front of me? What about the mountains that are a few miles over there? So all of these issues, the mountains make it additionally more complicated as well if you are going to worry about this issue. So what do we say about this topic? So some say that the time of Netzachama is only when you can actually see the sun. You can actually see the sun. Whether I'm standing over here or over there, it depends on where I can actually see it, meaning it's visible above Harazesim in our example, right? There's a Tshuvas Divrei Yosef. He says that the halacha depends on actually seeing the sun, and therefore you have to know if you're setting Yerushalayim in the old city, where the sun would come above Harazesim. That you have to take into account when making your luach for the rest of the year. Other shita say that we shouldn't take into account nearby mountains because if you can walk there by foot. If you can walk there reasonably by foot, you don't worry about it. It's considered as if it's not there, and it's just considered part of the scenery, and it doesn't block the sun. But according to that opinion, what about Harei Moav? Further out in the east, in the Jordan. You can't walk there. That's not a place you would walk by foot. So you'd have to worry about those mountains. Only complicating this calculation, all these issues even more. However, according to the Maral Diskin, he says that Harei Zesim isn't part of the equation, but we do take into account Harei Moav. So this issue has to be calculated as well. Next. There are those who say that you shouldn't consider mountains in the east. We only look at the sunrise according to a straight horizon based on what would be possible if there are no mountains, right? And you could have computer programs, or you have the Naval Observatory who can do all those things for you. So again, there's 3 shitas regarding the mountains. Either you always take into account every single mountain, you only worry about close mountains, not far mountains, or forget the mountains as well. Next, what if you have a city built on a mountain? What if you have a city that's taller than the astronomical horizon? What do you do for such a location? And does each neighborhood have to follow its own height? Let's say you have one neighborhood that's 500 feet, and in the same city you have another neighborhood that's, you know, 800 feet. So you have to worry about that issue as well when it comes to calculating. So there's another issue, right? If a skyscraper was built in the city, And it's going to basically, let's say you're davening the skyscraper, right? We all know, because the earth is round, I think we all agree upon that, the further you stand up, you're going to be able to see further in the horizon. So the taller you are, your Hanetzach Hama will be earlier, because you'll see the sun earlier. So these calculations have to be taken into account as well. And if it's very large, right, you go with the highest point in this part of the city, or the highest point of a different part of the city. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach held that every neighborhood in Yerushalayim has to have its own luach. Every neighbor in Yerushalayim, you have to have one for Shari Chesed, you have to have one for Har Nof. Everywhere needs to have its own luach, because it's a difference in a few minutes between the how the ground is going to work. There's a beautiful sefer Hazmanim Bahalacha. So in Perek Zayin, Perek Chav Dalet, he explains all these things that we've been talking about. He brings all the different shitas and raises the complications when it comes to calculating. Now, even according to those opinions that say that, let's say we're going to follow the opinions that say you use the astronomical horizon, you can use the naval observatory, and that's fine, right? I think Rosh Shechta says you can use the, you can rely on the naval observatory calendar in order to get the time. Now, where are we looking from, right? Where are they, why should we use their straight horizon versus anywhere else, right? So there's a, some say we should go on the straight horizon based on the height of the place, right, where you're currently standing. You should go by your city. The Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Baal HaTanya, says you should follow Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim's height. Yerushalayim dictates the tefillah for the rest of the world. Yerushalayim is 800 meters above sea level, and therefore, you always have to calculate the horizon as if you're 800 feet above, 800 meters above sea level, even if you're in New York. That's what the Baal HaTanya holds. Because you have to look towards Yerushalayim. Rav Moshe writes as well, Negros Moshe and Or HaChaim and Al Tzadi Zion, seemingly also agree that it has to be at that height. Others say that we take into account mountains, without mountains, and you have to look at the sea level, which covers most of the earth's surface, without mountains, and all different types of shitas about this as well. There's other issues as well. I have a sefer that I enjoy very much. It's called Zmani Halacha Lamaisa. It's half of it is about a lot of the stuff we discussed, and the other half are luachs based on solar calendars for every single city in Eretz Yisrael, according to this rabbi's calculations. So you can use it all year round. Anyway, so it's written by Rav Didya Manit Mem Nun Tuf. I don't know how to pronounce that. So he says that when you get this modem from a scientist, they're measuring where the sun actually is. Right? The Naval Observatory is calculating where the sun is actually coming in on the horizon. But we know that the rays of light bend, he says. And therefore, you actually see the rays of light 2 minutes later than when the sun is coming up. So he wants to also take that into account. And he says that Netzach Hama should really be 2 minutes later than the Naval Observatory calculates, because you want to look for the light of the sun itself and not the way that it's bending over the horizon. Well, Yashav agreed with this, and he changed the time of his minyan when he read this person's sefer. He agreed with it. And most calendars in Yerushalayim followed the Chil Michal Tukhachinsky. He followed, for some reason, the time in Cairo. I don't know why. He followed the time, something to do with the scientific Netzach Hama in Cairo. And this Netzach is earlier than most of the calendars as well. The Rav Moshe Shapiro, who is Nifter this year, so he also had his own calendar, I think, where he had people go stand on the east of Yerushalayim. And they had, I think he went to the east of Yerushalayim and he calculated for each and every day what it would look like if you were standing at the edge of Yerushalayim to see the sun coming up visually, not relying on the calendars, and all these different issues coming to account. So what do we want to stress after going through all these points as follows? If you walk into a minyan, a Nate's minyan, and it says that based on the Naval Observatory and what's going on in myzmanim.com, it says that Nate's is at 6:03 in the morning. You have to be aware there's a lot of people who are arguing with that. And it's not agreed upon by everyone. So when the chazan is breathing down the person's neck, you have to get there, you have to get there, you have to get there. Here, there's an Indian to be makbid. Or let's say you are late and you feel like, I'm going to be 2 minutes late, I'm not going to get Nate's. You're going to get Nate's according to a lot of opinions, even if you're 2 minutes later than the clock. There's a long range here. Nate's Achama is a period of time according to a number of different shitas and according to a different number of opinions. And one has to take that into account, that it's not scientific. Anyone who has had the pleasure of davening Vasikin at the Kotel in the morning knows it's an amazing experience because it's very loud and very rushed, and then everyone agrees upon a single time. All the minyanim sit there. They have people madaming these minyanim for years and years and years. They have these little stands, and they have their times, their clocks, and everything going. And at the same moment, the whole kotel becomes silent. It's very beautiful. Everyone davening together at the same time.
It's nice that everybody agreed.
Everybody agreed. For every single morning, for a few minutes, everybody agrees that we're going to daven at the same time. So it's a very beautiful thing. And it's certainly appropriate that there shouldn't be any machlokas about it, and there should be a consensus regarding how people are going to daven. But at the same time, to understand that there's a lot of different factors coming into it.
What else depends on dates?
I'm saying any daytime mitzvahs.
So therefore, it has implication for first time in Milchit and everything. So it's not just a Nate's question. It falls for the whole day.
You mean calculating other? Well, there we correct. That's the machlokes in the Gran Magen Avraham about how do you calculate the rest of the day. True.
It's probably a bigger problem for Mincha because Mincha is too early. You probably aren't Yotze. Nate, you're like 40. If you're around Nate's 40,
yes.
But certainly, there's a time. We down here probably 3 months a year, 4 months a year before Nate's.
Correct.
I mean, so that's not doesn't have much stakes as everything going afterwards. If somebody does Mincha precisely by.
Correct. So when Shvi has its own issue, you see Shvi looking for the ball of the sun,
those are the 13, the first Mincha Doa.
Yes.
That would have an issue there.
Correct. So there's two plagues, right? There's the plague of the Gra, who calculates from one time, to the plague of the Magen Avraham. Most people follow the plague of the Gra. But here, by our Shabbos, we follow the plague of the Magen Avraham because we want to give people extra time to get home, but to be able to get back from work. But just again to see, again, just to wrap it up, Vasikin is a good thing. If a person can do it, Tavol of Bracha. And the timing for Vasikin, it's not so clear. There's a lot of factors, placement, height, horizon, mountains, rays of light, all different things that come into account in order to figure out the correct time.